Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word this morning. I am thankful that God gave us another day, an opportunity to do what we need to do to get his word out. For God's word is great and greatly to be praised. For he is the Lord God. He is the Lord our God. And he is the judge of everything. And that is our word for this morning. He is the Lord our God, the judge of everything. And it is coming word this morning, which is Psalms 105, which has a lot of great words in it. And so we will be getting to that this morning. We are in the book of Isaiah, which has been awesome. On yesterday, we studied 1 Corinthians and chapter 13 and 14. And today we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we will be in the book of Isaiah as well, Isaiah chapter 3, which is awesome as well. There's not a bad word in this word. Hallelujah. We are blessed that God left us this basic instruction before leaving earth. And all we have to do is pick it up and read it. Wow. Just pick it up and read it. Because it is that great. It's better than any romance novel. As we just read the Song of Solomon romance, you know, it's got intrigue. It's got kingdoms and kings, and it even has all that other stuff that folks get into. It has everything you can imagine. It's in the book. It's in the book. In the book to give us guidance. It's in the book to show us the right way to go, the right way to live, the right way to speak, the right way to even eat and drink. It tells us to live life to the full, but it also tells us to be aware of foolishness. It's got everything you can imagine. It's in this book. So if you are a person, well, I just want to read a good book, you got it. It is a good book. That's why we call it the good book, the good book, because it's all those things and more. It's a great book, and it's not fantasy. That's the one thing about it. It's all true. It's all real. It's all God. And we are blessed to have it. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with open hearts, open minds, and spirits ready to receive what you have for us from your great book, from this great biblical instruction before leaving earth. And we know it's basic. We know it's an instruction. And we know that one day we're going to leave this earth. And we're going to come back to Jesus. For the dead in Christ shall rise. Father God, we ask you to guide us and lead us and teach us and mold and make us. For you are the potter and we are your clay. And Lord God, I pray that this word will touch someone's heart, touch someone's mind, give somebody an opportunity to just think some things over. Whatever it is that they're doing, am I doing it to God's glory? or is it just about me? Lord, help us to be better human beings, better people, better teachers, ministers, pastors, better of all those fivefolds. Lord God, let us be better. Guide us and lead us. And as every day, Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And I pray, Lord, that words of my humble heart and mouth be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, I am nothing, but you are my strength, Lord. And you have redeemed me from sin through the blood of your Son, the Savior Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that all things work for my good. Because I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I cannot do this without him. There is nothing we can do without Jesus. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just again, it just is in my spirit just to tell the Lord God, got a gift. Church announcement this week. And that is if you are in the Springfield, Illinois area on Saturday, September 9th, September 11th, please stop by the church that I attend, which is the Table of Life Ministries. And the ministry that I am the director of is Women Faith Ministry. And our annual conference is this Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock a.m. sharp. We have a great program in store for you. If you are able to come, and our word for Saturday is coming out of Joshua chapter 24, and it in verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know, we got to choose this day. Who will you serve? Who will you serve? And so many are serving the world and not serving God. And we want to serve God. And our New Testament word is coming out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so that is our word for this week. So I ask you to please, if you are in this area, Springfield, Illinois, come to 2600 South 5th Street Ministries. If you are visiting Springfield, Illinois to see the sites, come to Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 5th Street, where you will find love, peace, and the joy of the Lord, because that is our strength. So I pray that you are able to come and just say, I heard about it on Moving Forward. And I just tell you now, it has been a pleasure reading the Word of God with you and studying his Word with you. So let's get in the Word, because that's what we're here for, to learn the Word of God so we can put it in our heart and put these scriptures in our arsenal to fight, because we stand on the word. We fight with the word, because the enemy in the word, twisting it and having trying to confuse us. But when we know it, we can say, not today. Not today, devil. And when we say devil, it's an encompass of all the fallen angels, because they're all demonic spirits. And their goal and their job is to take us out. For every angel that God has assigned to us, the enemy has assigned a demon. Because again, Never forget, a third of heaven fell with him, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels. And a third fell. There's probably thousands upon thousands upon thousands of demonic spirits roaming this world. So be careful. Trust God and call on the name of Jesus. So we call on the name of Jesus this morning. Jesus, please take control. Jesus, please speak through me that this word will come alive in mind, heart, and spirit. But this word predicts you. This word that Isaiah is preaching is a word that will usher in the Savior. Over 1,000 years before Jesus, this word was written. But it was written to prepare God's people for the Messiah. And then when he came, they didn't want to believe he was here. Because Jesus didn't play. He was what one would say, he was a radical. He was talking stuff that to hear or to know. Because they had put him in bondage, spiritual bondage. And Jesus came to loose the chains and to break the chains and to release us from spiritual bondage to a bondage, not even bondage, to a free will to love God. To love God and to want to be servants of the Most High. I will serve the Lord. It should be our mantra. I will serve the Lord. So when you serve the Lord, you won't have two gods. So you cannot serve two masters. As I hear people speaking about certain things and you're listening and you're saying, you are pastors and you are bastardizing God's word. Because you're trying to serve two masters. And one, a man or men or women, put on pedestals. And if they don't realize it, they are serving that person. Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Pray and pray and pray some more, family. But we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against those fallen angels of darkness. We're wrestling against principalities in the heavenly realm. And I tell God, thank you every day, that he is the head of the Lord's army. And he fights with the Savior beside him and the Holy Spirit on the other side, fighting for us every day. The Lord God fights. So let's get into our word this morning. Again, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 6. Psalms 105, starting at verse 7 through verse 22. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26 through 27. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you don't mind looking those up and getting your word prepared, again, we are in Isaiah chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 6, Psalms 105, verses 7 through 22, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26 through 27, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, before I get started, I'm sorry, I keep having my pre-start. This is the third and final pre-start. I want to give a shout out today. But today would have been my godmother, who I call my parentess. You hear me say my mother or my mom. Today would have been her birthday. She was born in 1913. Wow. You say that 1913, and she would be over 100 years old And as I think about it, it's like, wow, God, look at that. And she was awesome. And I am grateful to Lillian Anderson, my friend, my mother, my mentor, the one that was there when I fell and hurt my knee, and there when I was hit by a car. I thank God for her, and I thank God for my godfather, Henry Lee Anderson. May they never be forgotten as the awesome missionaries that they were. As Lil said, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. And so I thank God that she taught me to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And the song that she sang and the song that she loved was, If I Can Help Somebody. And if I can help somebody, that's what I'll do. Because God blesses us to be blessings. He blesses us to help others. He blesses us to be better than we were yesterday. So I say to you today, in honor of my godmother, my mom, my mother, my friend, help somebody today. Give a smile. Give someone hope in the future. Let people know that they are special and that they belong to God. Mahalia Jackson sung this song, and the words are just this, and I leave these words as we begin to start our scriptures. And I just say, don't let your living be in vain. And it says, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody that he's traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good man ought or woman, or just as a good person ought, but the word is as a good man ought. If I can bring back beauty to a world of rocks, if I can spread love's message as the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. My living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. Give someone a hug today. Give someone a smile today. Go forth in an act of kindness today and watch God work in your life. For you will know in your heart that your living is not in vain. And the word of God says, for behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judea the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skilled partition and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. Come on now. He's speaking to our generation. How many times have we seen insolent children talk back? Treat their elders as if they are the children and the child is the adult. And then those that are base, treat the honorable horribly. Talk about people that are Christians like we are junkyard dogs. call us everything but children of God. Think about how much they hate God. Well, I'll tell you something. I love God. You don't love God. What's wrong with you? As Mary wrote back in the day, we got to love God. And that's just our edit. That is what we must do, is love God. And as Isaiah said in verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter 3, when a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler. And let these ruins be under your power. In that day, you will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. Me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory, the look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sins as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for you have eaten up the vineyard, the plunder of them in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making the jingling of their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scrub the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. I'm sorry, with a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And the Lord will uncover their secret parts. Wow. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel, and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen and the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. The branding, instead of beauty, your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit on the ground. What did he say again? Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. Verse 14, the Lord will enter into judgment and his princes. Who will stand in judgment? God, and only God will judge us. God is the judge and God is the jury. God is in charge. And what we will do is all life lessons we will read after we finish just this morning. We'll come back to Isaiah for the life lessons. And for those that are just joining us on this Moving Forward experience, this is a Bible study to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we read every word. Sometimes I'll just be honest, I cannot pronounce very well, but I do attempt. And that's why I always say, follow me in your words as we go through my word. And we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. So every day we have a word from God, except on Saturdays. That is my day that I'm supposed to be resting. And I'm going to say this, on Friday and Sunday, we read 3 days of word. So on Friday, we read all 3 days of our Old Testament word, without maybe sometimes we read the proverb or the psalm the next time we come together, which is Sunday, where our main word is the New Testament word, and where we may have a psalm or a proverb if we don't get all the Old Testament read on Friday. Saturday, we rest. We come back together first day of the week, Sunday, and we work for 6 days studying and reading the Word of God, because it's important that His Word be read and that people know the Word and can look up a word, because they will remember they heard it on Moving Forward. So that is what we do. We read the Word of God in a year, and we will read it again next year, God willing. And the creek don't rise, as I say. But God willing, we will be together this rest of this year, and we will read His Word. And we will start January 1 with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And do our best to read it all within a year, because the word is so important. And so let's get into our next word, which is coming out of Psalms. Oh, excuse me, no, we're still in Isaiah chapter 4. And it says, and in that day, 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. And we see that even now, where men have all kind of women, and they don't mind sharing. They don't mind sharing Mr. Jones, who's got a thing going on. You know, I should say me and Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones got a thing going on, but Mr. Jones has got his own thing going on too, because he's got 7 women. Jones got 1 man that she may be sharing with 7 other women too. Because the word of God tells us that in the day you're going to see a whole lot more of this stuff going on, where you're going to have women chasing men instead of men finding a wife and finding a good thing in favor with the Lord. You know, if you got to chase, that means he's not for you. If you got to chase a man, he is not for you. Because the man finds a wife, and it's a good thing. So many times, women have chased men into submission. A marriage. Oh, he's going to marry me. And then you wonder why you're not happy. You wonder why it doesn't work. Because it wasn't done decently and in order. We talked about that on yesterday. It wasn't decent and in order. Decent and in order is a man finds a wife. And no, I didn't say a man finds a sad piece. A man finds a woman. But the man finds a wife and finds favor. And we want favor with our God. You got to hunt and chase to snag. He's not for you, ladies. And men, if she chases you down into the ground like you a stag, she's not for you. And you just marry in submission or get into relationship in submission. You've got to love each other. And I say this every day. Before people get married, they need to learn how to be friends. friends first before you get married, because when you are somebody's friend, you're going to be less likely to want to hurt them, less likely to want to mistreat them, less likely to want to cheat on them, less likely to want to do them hurt or harm when they are your friend first. So just throwing that out there as we get back into our word, Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 2. In that day, that the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from the storm and rain. And I shout out to the people of Louisiana. I believe New Orleans and Baton Rouge in that area is now back with electricity. So we thank God for answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers for the people of Louisiana. And we pray also for the people of the East Coast, New York, and the areas up north that were hit also. We are blessed. If you didn't have to deal with Ida, you were blessed to work. So thank you, Lord, for the power back in Louisiana. And as we get into our word for today, you know, we have talked through this word from Isaiah, judgment. And as we get into our word this morning in Psalms, it says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. His judgments are in all the earth. And the word that God gave me this morning was the fact again, the Lord our God. The judge of everything. The Lord our God, the judge of everything. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. I have no heaven or hell to send you, and you have no heaven or hell to send me. But what we can do is love each other. That's all God asks of us, is to love each other. Covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings and for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. You heard that, right? I know people will say that scripture in a minute. Now you know where it comes from. It's Psalms 105, verse 15. Psalms 105, verse 15. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And to put it back in context, it says this again. When they went from one nation to another, and we're talking Israel as they're journeying through the wilderness to get to the promised land, he permitted no one do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed want and do my prophets no harm. We have been pulled in. We have been grafted to this vine, so we are part of the anointed ones. And those prophets and prophetess, the word of God has already said, to do you no harm. Again, do not touch my anointed ones, the ones saved by grace of Jesus Christ. And do my prophets no harm, the ones called by me. The ones called by me. There are a lot of prophet liars out there. And that's not what God is talking about. But the true prophets of God, they give the word. He gives an anointed word. He gives a great word. And I tell you, the words that they speak are words that come true. That's when you know they are true prophets and prophetess. And again, we understand that Isaiah's word didn't come through for several hundred years. But it came true. And again, that some things may not come true in your lifetime unless they are for this lifetime. It may be for your descendants or your descendants' descendants. But God's word never fails. It always comes true. Said it through his prophets. You better believe it. It's going to come true. And it goes on to tell us, in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go. Free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. We all know that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. But what happened? He might have started off as a slave, but he became one of the greatest men of Egypt. That is our Savior. Joseph was the Savior of that generation. Jesus is our Savior for all generations. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Proverbs 24, verse 26 through 27. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterwards, build your house. What a word. And our New Testament word this morning is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 28. And it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, apostles. The last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. This is Paul speaking. He was a hot mess. Stood by and watched Stephen be stoned to death, holding the garments of his killers. Looking on at that beautiful face as he looked up and saw Jesus standing by God as he was ready to give his soul away and to send it back from whence it came to God. But he stood up for his word and he didn't mince words. That young man preached and he preached to death, but he preached the truth. But Paul was in the midst persecuting the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, risen, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of the most pitiable. To set our hope on Jesus Christ, we got to set our faith on Jesus Christ. We got to set our love on Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Whew. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now say that again. All die. Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death has no sting, you know what it says. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. What a word. We are accepted by God. We are accepted by God. We are accepted by God. And verse 28 says, now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be under him, that God may be all in all. What a word of God this morning. Wow. One day. One day. Our Daddy God is coming back to get us. First, our Savior will defeat the enemy and the enemy of all enemies. We are blessed beyond measure, family. Blessed beyond measure. Let us never forget who we belong to. Let us never forget who will judge us. And it will not be man. It will be God. And our words now, life lessons, which come from Dr. Charles Stanley, and they say this. The first one is this. Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, sin is an affront to the glory of God, an insult to his goodness and righteousness. It is especially serious when a believer sins, for God has connected his holy name with that believer whose conduct reflects on God's character. You know, just like when we were children and as adults, if your parents are living, your conduct reflects on your mother and your father. Your conduct reflects on the person that raised you. Your conduct reflects on the parent that gave you birth. You are reflects on who your parents were. If you are kind, if you are nice, it reflects on your parents. If you are something else, it reflects on your parents. And you could have great parents, a great mother and father. And as we have seen many times, you can be a great parent. One child will do what's right and be there for you at all times. Whatever you have need of, that child will be there for you. And then their other child may not, or your other children may not. You may have five kids, and out of the five, two or three will be top-notch, and one or two will want to do their own thing and can care less about you, your values, or anything about you. That's what we have to understand. But that we, our character as Christians, as men and women, as believers, what we say, what we do, how we act, reflects on our Father God. If you are out there creating havoc in the world, they're worshiping idols, people, persons, and things. Again, you're not worshiping God. You're not giving our God the glory, and you're not reflecting good on him. You are a bad reflection. And as we get into Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, it says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. God always rewards faithful and obedient behavior. Although God would judge Judah for her sin, he wanted to encourage the few righteous believers who remained to continue living for him. He would remember they all did not get sent into exile. They thought they was taking the biggest, the brightest, and the best. But God left a remnant of believers who didn't mind doing the work that was required. And then God sent the prophets. He sent Amos. He sent Nehemiah to come and build that gate, to build the walls, to restore Jerusalem. Always have someone to do the work that he needs them to do, because that is what he does. He takes care and he knows everything. God knows the past, God knows the future, and God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows our hearts. He knows if your heart ain't right. He knows if your heart is right. God knows everything about you. And yes, I said ain't instead of aren't. But God knows everything about it. And this is what the word says next in in Isaiah. I love Joshua, so Joshua must be on my mind. But anyway, Isaiah 4, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah is the first prophet to call the coming Messiah by the name branch. He sees a time when Jesus will reign in glory and bring prosperity and joy to the whole world. Isaiah 11:1 says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with iniquity, with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Wow. Isaiah, I've just read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And then, you know, Dr. Stanley says, you know, we're going to go over to Jeremiah. And we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. We may read a little bit of that to put it all in context. And we will, the branch of righteousness. We're talking about Jesus. You know, because Isaiah brought it out. He said the branch, the Messiah is the branch. And then now Jeremiah, another prophet. Again, prophets that are genuine, it's in their spiritual realm. You will hear certain prophetic words from different prophets, and you will find that the prophets that are God's prophets, they will preach a different word than those that are just out there, you know, saying a whole bunch of garbage. And then as you see, every time they say this is going to happen, it doesn't have time passes. Because with the false, God shows you immediately that they're false. With those that are not, you may not see it for 5 years, 10 years, but you're going to see it. But you will see other things that they will say that will come quick and in a hurry. But the false, he going to show you up real quick and in a hurry. You know, you're going to have this and that. Bam, not happening. And let's go ahead. The branch of righteousness is what Jeremiah called Jesus. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord of our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And that is Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 5, 1 through 7. You know, I want to get into the next section, which deals with the false prophets and empty oracles. That will deal with that another time. But, you know, we're talking about the branch right now, which is Jesus. And again, judgment is not ours, it's the Lord's. You know, join me in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15. And we're going to go back again to chapter 33. We're going to start at verse number 10. And now, actually, we're going to start at verse number 1. And it says, it's excellence of the restored nation. And I'm sorry, God just told me, nope, you don't have time to go through all that. I know you want to preach, girlfriend, but that's not what you need to do. You need to go to verse 15. So I'm going to verse 15 because that's what God said to do. In those days, at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Again, who's going to judge? God is the judge. Jesus is a judge. We are just their children. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. We are children of God. And as we go into our Psalms where it says, the word of the Lord tested him. Psalms 105, verse 19. And it says, whomever God uses greatly, he first tests thoroughly. As a teenager, Joseph prophesied through the Spirit that his brothers and fathers would one day bow down to him. But before that happened, he had to endure much hardship. We all go through it. I can tell you now, there is not one pastor, one teacher, preacher, one prophet that have not gone through. Tell you that you aren't sharp as iron. And I'm going to tell you, there's not one that I have ever met that has not gone through. And those that have not gone through, let's just leave it at that. And it goes on to say, and first, we're going to go a little bit over this morning, but for those that must leave us at 8 o'clock, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And before we get out of here again, for those that have to leave at 8 o'clock, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. We didn't get one. Sister Carolyn is too busy enjoying time with her daughter and looking at that grandbaby of hers. So we will have a word from Sister Carolyn on tomorrow. So I thank all of you that have listened in that have to leave at 8. But we have a 1 Corinthians. I want to get those life lessons in before we get out. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Anything worthwhile that we accomplish for God is done through the guidance and empowering of his Holy Spirit. His grace prompts us to get busy, not to get lazy. Can you hear that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. The physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is essential to the truth and power of the gospel. There is no Christianity without his resurrection. And James, a changed man. At the beginning, James refused to believe in either the ministry of or the deity of Jesus, his brother. James' disbelief remained steadfast throughout Jesus' early life. Only after the resurrection did James finally realize the truth. And it goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, Paul lists those to whom the risen Christ appeared. There, along with the disciples, James is singled out. Soon after the resurrection, James and his brothers joined the disciples in devoting themselves to prayer as they awaited the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. James, not Peter, is one of the other disciples, led the Jerusalem church through its early days. The missionaries who informed this church of their activities reported to James, its leader, Acts 15, 12 through 21, 21, 18. James proves that even when you feel the most comfortable with the Lord, even when you believe you haven't figured out. He can still surprise you and change your world. And that is our word for this morning, thanking God for changing our world through his son, Jesus Christ. Thanking God for changing our world through the love that he has for each and every one of us. Thanking God for changing our world and to let us know in advance that he is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. Again, the judge of everything. And he has given us an edit. To touch not his anointed and do his prophets no harm. So keep your mouth off of God's anointed and off of his teachers and preachers and prophets, off of his people. Because those that are spreading the gospel, the true gospel, will make you feel uncomfortable. If you're not doing right, as my pastor said, if that shoe, that tight shoe is fitting, then you need to wear it. Don't get mad. Don't leave your churches because the pastor preached a message that hit home. Instead, embrace it. Change your life and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all I got today. I thank you again for listening in. And as we've already prayed out, my second closing this morning, we say again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who will also judge the quick and the dead, and who will be ruler over this earth one day. For he is the branch, and we are part of his vine. Have a blessed day, family, and join me tomorrow, God's will, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the word of God. Have a blessed day, family. And it's a wrap.